consulting with patients over the last 13 years have so many lessons and so many things that I keep wondering about, pondering on. I learn a lot of my lessons from my own patients. It's always made me think and wonder, why is it difficult to be nice all the time? Are we supposed to be nice all the time? Are we supposed to be kind all the time? A lot of people have this guilt when they're not nice or they're unable to be nice to someone. Is it possible for us to be nice all the time? Social media, society may put that pressure on us that we need to be nice all the time, we need to be nice to everyone, but that actually is where all the problems begin. I see so many patients who are literally burning out by trying to be nice all the time. I see people pleasers that are born out of trying to be nice or being told from the time they're children that they have to be nice to everyone. It's not physically possible, mentally, spiritually, or even emotionally possible for human beings to be nice all the time. This has always played on my mind when I look at patients and who have not drawn their boundaries, people in toxic relationships who have not drawn their boundaries, and how all of these repressed and suppressed emotions over the years starts to build up in their systems, depress their immune systems, lead to sickness, lead to disease, or become the obstacles towards their recovery. We live in a world today that constantly emphasizes the virtue of kindness and empathy, the expectation to be consistently and constantly nice, and all of this can feel very overwhelming. If it was natural to us, it would be easy. Anything that's unnatural would always be difficult. That's why when we're in a state of resistance, there's always difficulty. When we're in a state of acceptance or in a state of flow, things are so much more easier for us. So we need to understand that trying to be nice all the time, it's not natural, and that's why it's a struggle. That's why we beat ourselves up if we were not kind, or we made a mistake, or we were not nice to someone that we were supposed to be nice to. But today I want to break it down. I've been delving deep into the subject to kind of understand myself as a human being and so many patients who come to us, because I definitely don't want to be part of that world that sends out a message to people and sets expectations for everyone to be consistently and constantly nice. It all goes back down to evolution. From an evolutionary perspective, humans are equipped with a variety of instincts that are not exclusively focused on kindness. It's a part of it. Don't get me wrong. When we can be kind, we should be kind. But many times, we find ourselves acting out of kindness just because we have to. But deep within us, there's turmoil, there's chaos, there's anger, there's resentment, there's bitterness, there's guilt. Our ancestors survived harsh conditions by developing traits like self-preservation, competition, and cooperation. All of these things served crucial roles in their survival, and it is still in us till this very date. What are survival instincts? We all have the survival mechanism called the sympathetic nervous system, which is fight and flight. This reflects a primal need to protect oneself. When faced with threats, whether physical or social, people respond with aggression, defensiveness, rather than kindness. This is usually the first primal reaction to protect ourselves. But then that constant learning that has come from our childhood, not everyone, but most people's childhood, or what society says or what social media says, that no, be kind, be nice, even if you have to pretend to. By doing this, we're pushing down more and more feelings. I'm not saying we got to be rude to people. There are many ways to draw boundaries. If we can't be nice, sometimes just don't say anything at all. I know it's difficult. I'm struggling with that. Or we draw boundaries where we understand that it's okay that not to be nice to everyone. Someone disrespects you, you can't always turn the other cheek. You can if you're spiritually evolved and you can go home with no hatred in your heart, with no negativity in your heart, with no resentment or guilt. But just because you want to show society you're perfect and you turn the other cheek, or you let people walk over you and threaten you at a primal instinct, but inside of you, you're filled with resentment and guilt. It's hurting you. It's hurting you, not anyone else but yourself. So the inherent capability to prioritize self-protection is not conducive to perpetual niceness. Let's say, for example, your mother-in-law says something to you that's really, really hurt you. Now, we have many options. We can pretend to be nice because we're scared of confrontation. We want to be respectful, all of that. That's good. That's your choice. But if you go back and you're complaining to your husband and there's bitterness and resentment, and the next day you're complaining to your friends, and then you're constantly whining about how your mother-in-law treats you, or your father-in-law treats you, or your husband, or your wife, or your girlfriend, or your boyfriend, or your boss, but you are not taking action to draw boundaries or do whatever it takes to improve the situation, you go on pretending to be nice. It's making the situation worse. You are now challenging your own primal instincts and needs to protect yourself, to self-preserve. You need to understand that. Self-preservation, it comes naturally to human beings. In the older days, in a natural environment, you also had resource competition. You know, there was competition to get resources like food and shelter, mates, the mate were limited. This competition still exists today, but it may be a little bit different. Today, it's the competition on social media to get more views, more validation. It's the competition of women against women, men against men, men against women, vice versa. It's a competition to be the best all the time. It's a competition to be first in class all the time. It's the competition to win and have more and more and more. It's a different kind of competition, but this is not unnatural. It's part of our evolution. Now, to play in competition, you can't always be nice. You cannot always be nice. It's like the winner telling the second place winner, hey, congratulations, and try to be nice to winner number two. Of course, you can be nice, congratulate, but that niceness is not going to make winner two feel any better because they're winner number two. So in the game of competition, and life is competition right now for most people, you're either pretending to be nice all the time, you're cheating yourself, you're fooling yourself, or you change your perspective. In the game of competition, I can be respectful, I can be honest, I can have integrity, but I don't have to be nice. Because that is overwhelming to pretend all the time, not to be your authentic self. At the same time, we don't have to go around hurting people and saying, oh, I don't like you, I don't like you. We don't have to. We're very good at sending signals to human beings that we don't like. You draw your boundaries, stop spending so much of time with them. That's how we do it. But a lot of human beings are putting on this overwhelming pressure of trying to be nice all the time. Now let's talk about emotional complexity. Human emotions are complex. They're influenced by so many factors, including stress, the environment, personal experiences. Your response to stress. What is your response to stress? Neurobiological research indicates that stress can significantly impact our emotional response and interactions. Because under stress, what you need to understand is that under stress, the brain may prioritize immediate survival needs, sidelining compassion and behaviors of kindness in favor of self-preservation or societal expectations. So the moment you move into the sympathetic nervous system, which means you're stressed out, you're in the fight and flight response system of the human body. There is no compassion. There is no kindness. And that is why it is so important for us to be mindful, to develop the trait of mindfulness. So when we're stressed out, we can try to be more mindful about the words that we use. Because when I'm stressed out, if I'm in a fight and flight situation, I think negativity, anything to survive, will be the first thing that comes out in terms of my actions and my words. My mind is not going to be thinking kind words unless I become so good at pretending, or I'm living so disconnected from my authentic self that my subconscious mind, even when I'm stressed, will pretend to be nice to even the people that we don't want to be nice to, further increasing our stress. So when you are in the sympathetic nervous system, it doesn't matter what your problem is, how big or how small, in the sympathetic nervous system, your brain will prioritize immediate survival needs, sidelining compassionate and kind behaviors. This is okay. You should be okay with it. You should be mindful about it. It's extremely important to understand the wide spectrum of human emotions. I've spoken about this so many times. The human frame of emotions includes joy, sadness, frustration, anger, all the negative emotions and all the positive emotions. Trying to suppress a negative emotion in favor of maintaining a facade or a show of niceness is heavily emotionally taxing. What you need to understand, and psychologists keep saying, that the avoidance of unpleasant feelings can lead to an emotional burnout or detachment. A lot of people today are burning out not just because of excess work. They're burning out because of this emotional facade that we try to maintain in our relationships, families, society, at our workplaces, in our business, of trying to be nice all the time when it is impossible. Now let's take a philosophical perspective. Let's talk about the nature of authenticity. Basically, we're living our authentic self, or we're living our non-authentic self. Our non-authentic self is, I'm trying to be nice to everyone, even people I don't know. Someone on your social media page who doesn't even follow you will come and say something negative to you, and you'll still try to be nice to them, where deep inside of you, you're angry, you're hurt, you're negative. I'm not saying you've got to fight with these people, but how are you drawing your boundaries? Are you blocking them? Are you asking them to behave the right way? Are you restricting them? These are all ways of drawing your boundaries. But so many people, you can see it in real society and on social media society as well. They just try to pretend like, I'm okay with everything. Criticism is great for me. It makes me a better person. All of this toxic positivity that's been pushed into us for the longest time, creating this burden of trying to be nice to everyone. It is impossible for you to like everyone or to be liked by everyone. The sooner we accept that and understand that, we'll stop looking for validation and attention in the wrong places and from the wrong kind of people. It's an established fact between both genders that if your partner, your husband, your wife, your girlfriend or boyfriend is not giving you some emotional need, but someone else who you don't even like is giving it to you, you can be physically and emotionally attracted to that person. It is so important for us to understand that the human soul will crave for love, care, a sense of belonging, validation, acknowledgement, and attention. The human soul craves for this. And it is so important for us to understand that we'd rather get it from the right people, the right jobs, the right relationships, or we end up getting it from the wrong ones. And that's why a lot of people tolerate violence in their relationships, toxic behaviors in their relationship, because they're so latched on to getting maybe a little love or a little bit of attention from that particular person. So it's important for us to understand. So I do want to talk about something that Aristotle spoke about, which is called the concept of the golden mean, which talks about that every virtue lies between two extremes. What do I mean by that? What did he mean by that? So for example, courage, the emotion of courage, the virtue of courage lies between two extremes, recklessness or cowardice. Similarly, kindness has to be balanced with honesty, assertiveness, and sometimes even toughness. Love cannot always be soft. It's beautiful when it's soft, but sometimes love has to be balanced with assertiveness and even toughness if you care for the person that you love. But if you're only living your non-authentic programmed way of trying to be nice to everyone, So your best friend has lung cancer, but is still smoking a pack of cigarettes, but you just want to be nice, and even though a part of you wants to tell your friend, stop smoking. That kindness, that fake kindness in you, that programmed societal kindness in you, that niceness of you not being your authentic self doesn't allow you to do the right thing at the right time. I know so many relationships which have become strained. Marriages, boyfriends, girlfriends, genders, whatever it is. Because you had one partner who had a different definition of love from the other. This partner's definition of love was not just softness and saying good things, but it was also encouraging change, encouraging some amount of toughness coming from a space of absolute care and love for that partner. But because we think we need to be nice all the time, I've seen relationships and marriages break up because one partner is just too nice all the time. And I'm not talking about the niceness. I'm talking about the fake niceness. Because that's not something that the human soul needs. Let's talk about the burden of expectation. Social norms constantly demand kindness and compassion. One of the reasons I barely socialize today or go for weddings or parties or anything of that, anything like that, it's very rare that I would do something, is because I personally can't stand small conversation that's fake and small comments that are fake. It's become like people are programmed, and I'm not judging anyone. I'm just saying these are reflection exercises for all of us. You see people who are so programmed that their subconscious mind will immediately give even someone that they don't like the sweetest smile, the nicest things to say to that person, when you really know that behind that person's back, this person who's pretending niceness also has the most meanest things to say. But on their face, oh, you're so beautiful, you lost so much of weight. And 5 minutes later, you hear them talking about their friend, oh, she's put on so much of weight, what's wrong with her? The point is, you need to understand that these behaviors are hurting you. They're hurting you. And the more you practice fake niceness, because you got to keep up to society's norms and social media's norms of saying anything, the more weaker it's making you emotionally. The less in touch it's making you with real kindness and real compassion. Because real kindness and real compassion comes from a space of you being your authentic self. Ever notice children? They'll hug some people, and some people they just want hug. And yet parents will force them, oh, go give them a hug, go give that uncle a hug, go give that auntie a hug. Children are very instinctive. They're following their emotions. They're following their energies. Every child doesn't have to hug every one of your friends or aunts and uncles. Let them follow their authentic self. By putting that pressure that we have on ourselves from society, on the kids, these kids grow up to become people pleasers. Which brings me to, let's talk about people-pleasing behavior. The desire to be nice often leads individuals, people, normal people like all of us, to engage in people-pleasing behaviors. This can result in chronic stress, interpersonal resentment, as humans sacrifice their own needs and boundaries in favor of maintaining the nice image. The nice image. So even when you really want to say no, your subconscious mind wants to maintain the identity of, but I'm a nice person. And so we let people walk all over us. All of us would have come through people-pleasing behaviors at sometimes, most of us. I know I was a people-pleaser when I started my career 13 years ago. Because there were so many nutritionists way ahead of me, I started off really late. I wanted to make a name for myself, so I wouldn't charge people. I would get free consults. I would I would just be this people pleaser just to win their trust, win their attention, because I felt threatened by so many people around me who were already doing well. Until there was this beautiful elderly lady who told me on my face once, she was my yoga teacher. She inspired me into yoga and so many different things. I think she was about 74 the time she told me that, hey, Luke, don't you love yourself enough to respect yourself? When are you going to stop giving free stuff to people? It's so clear that you want people to like you and like what you do. That's great. But your work is excellent. Value your work. Value what you do. Stop pleasing people. you have a gift, you have a value that you can offer people. So now I want you to value yourself. And that was the only advice I needed to move from my people-pleasing behavior to being my authentic self and allowing other people to adjust around me. But that resulted in me being my authentic self, where you actually find joy, happiness, and peace. Sometimes I do slip into a people-pleasing behavior, and then you find you're on the opposite spectrum, where there's only guilt, resentment, and all of those things. So it's so important for us not to favor or maintain a nice image and ignore our own boundaries. It also leads us to talk about guilt and self-doubt. When individuals fail to be nice, they may experience guilt or self-doubt. This reinforces a cycle of negative self-perception. The emotional burden can be terrible, leading to more stress and more anxiety, which just diminishes the capacity for real kindness. So I need all of us to accept that we cannot be nice to everyone. Some of us are locked up in our religion and spiritual paths, and we've not really understood the scriptures. No religion has ever said that we need to be nice to everyone, because it's not possible for us to be nice to everyone. Of course, sometimes we can respond with a kind gesture, a prayer for someone, but we don't have to accept everyone in our lives. That's why we're not supposed to have so many friends like social media says we should have. A few good friends, but solid relationships. Friends where you can be your authentic self. You don't have to pretend to be someone else, which is a huge burden emotionally as well as physically. So we got to understand guilt and self-doubt. So what we need to understand is this, you know, this commitment to niceness all the time is psychologically making us more and more disconnected. It's so important for us to be our authentic self. It is not realistic, nor is it healthy, to expect yourself to be nice all the time. You got to understand, you right now, whoever's hearing this, including myself, all human beings are inherently flawed and complex, which array with a range of and spectrum of emotions, good and bad, instincts that serve vital functions. Everyone has different levels of anxiety. That's a protective mechanism. Anxiety is not a bad thing unless we do nothing about it. We just wallow in it, we overthink it, and we don't take any actions. We have to recognize that occasional frustration, anger, assertiveness is not just acceptable. Even envy is acceptable. A small part of it. We feed it too much, it can become crime. It can become violence. It can become illegal behaviors. So like I said, we can recognize that occasional frustration, occasional anger, occasional lust, occasional assertiveness, occasional greed is not only acceptable, but it's also necessary, because it can help liberate all of us from the unrealistic expectations of perpetual niceness. I like that I get jealous sometimes. I like that I get angry sometimes, but I think I can do a little bit of work. I get angry maybe a little more than I should be. I get happy when I have thoughts of envy too. It reminds me I'm a human being and that I don't have to be nice all the time. So all of us embracing the full spectrum of human emotions allows us for genuine and real engagements that foster authentic connections and mutual respect. Rather than just striving for constant niceness, a more empowering approach involves cultivating kindness when appropriate, while honoring the authenticity of your own feelings, not just the other person's feelings. Why are you honoring everyone else's feelings by being nice all the time, but dishonoring your own feelings? Accepting our imperfections, the complexities of our human nature, actually leads us to healthier relationships. Can we really be vulnerable in our relationships today? Or has social media taught us the opposite of it? Being vulnerable is a beautiful way of exposing your authentic self in a respectful way. So many people are just trying to be nice in relationships to win love and respect. You should have love and respect, but it doesn't require you to be nice all the time. It requires you to be your authentic self. Express how you truly feel about your partner, your boss, or whatever, to that person or to someone else. So many people, so many couples come to me, and when we talk about their emotional health, whether they have cancer, diabetes, we always talk about emotions. Ask them, how's your relationship? How's your marriage? I actually get concerned when the couple say, oh, Luke, we never fight. We never fight. That actually makes me more concerned about them. Because by each partner not fighting, which is usually impossible, the only other thing that it means is each of those partners are suppressing their real feelings and emotions. Because it is impossible for two people not to have indifferences. It's impossible for two people to agree to everything. It's impossible for two people to have the same likes and the same dislikes. What does this mean? That there is always space for conflict. So when people say, and these are the couples that you'll usually they'll show their lives on social media, oh, we never fight at all. They just become great at suppressing their indifferences and their emotions, which eventually is going to hurt both of them or one of them, or one of them are going to reach the tipping point where it'll all come out in the worst, most bitter, most resentful, most angry outburst. That's why we have to. Spirituality guides us to live our authentic self. I know it's a very fake world, mostly out there, and most of us wear masks. I wear different masks. I wear a mask with my partner. I wear a different mask with my child. I wear a mask with different kinds of patients, with different degrees of their illness. I wear a different mask with a fourth stage dying patient. I wear a different mask with a young kid who's born with a brain cancer. We all wear different masks, but we got to make sure that it doesn't lose our connection with our authentic self. So technically, I believe today that the journey towards emotional honesty and authenticity just doesn't mitigate guilt and stress, but it also helps us enrich our interactions with our friends, with our loved ones, with our families, especially in a society which is so complex, so much of hypocrisy, so much of fakeness, so much of the requirement for all of us to have these emotional facades of being who we really aren't. So the more people you hang around with where you feel you need to be someone you're not, that's the biggest red flag and indicator for you to really maybe trim down your friend groups, your relationships, and really try to find the most beautiful relationship is one where you can be your authentic self. The one that you can be your authentic self, because your authentic self can never be nice all the time. It's extremely important we talk about this from a space of cancer and illness, because a lot of diseases, as you know, have their connections with our emotional health as well. And that's why lifestyle matters. Whatever disease you have, take your medicines, listen to your doctors, do whatever treatments you're supposed to. But you have to integrate lifestyle along with your medical treatment. That lifestyle includes your emotional wellness, your movement, your sleep quality, your nutrition, your breath, your spiritual part. All of these things work together best. So I hope all of us can understand and take that burden off that we don't need to be nice. You need to be reactive on social media, be reactive. Maybe you don't have to shout or come down to that person's level, just block them. Draw your boundaries. What are these boundaries that you're going to draw in your relationships, families, and social media, so you can move from mental exhaustion to mental joy and peace?